Fans, welcome back for episode 246 of the Working Fans Podcast, where today, myself, the man called Dave, we are starting off in a little different way because we have promotion right at the top. Thursday, May 2nd, 208 Bank Street, New London, Connecticut, at the Social Bar and Kitchen, Best Trivia Ever is bringing in Buff Bagwell. 5 to 7 p.m. is the meet and greet. 7:30 p.m. starts the trivia. $20 to get in the door includes meet and greet. Autograph pictures are extra. And today we have the owner of the social, Sean Murray, to tell you all about Best Trivia Ever with Buff Bagwell. Sean, thank you for joining us. And let the people know what they can expect this Thursday.
So this is going to be, fun. We've never had a wrestler walk into the social, so that'll be fun for me, you know, to see, the timing couldn't have been any better too. Dark Side of the Ring had just come out. His Dark Side of the Ring had just come out only weeks ago. So like the timing is crazy.
That's pretty crazy. I didn't even know that wasn't planned. That's great.
Yeah. It was not planned at all. Like literally he told me about it a couple weeks before. And then we were like, wait, Dark Side of the Ring's coming out. And then all of a sudden, so it was kind of cool. It should be really fun. I mean, basically we're going to do, like you said, a meet and greet for a couple hours with him. And then we're going to move on to a trivia night and he's going to sort of co-host. So the idea is we're going to have the owner of Best Trivia Ever is going to host it. And it's all pro wrestling trivia. I think it's going to cover a wide array of stuff because they usually do five rounds. And last time they did it, they had some questions that he was dumped me. And I thought, oh, I know everything. This is going to be fine. So it'll be good. It'll be good trivia. And in between questions, he's going to interview Buff Bagwell and talk to him about some things going on in his career and some, you know, maybe some American males stuff. Maybe I can get him to talk about being the handsome stranger in USWA, yes. You know,
of the more interesting Dark Side of the Ring. So getting him at this time is great.
Yeah.
Now you were telling us earlier that Best Trivia Ever does come to this side of the state, but this is the first time featuring a big wrestler. So how big is that to have a wrestler down in New London, Connecticut?
Oh, it's huge. And it's and the big deal is like this is an experiment for them. So they you know, this isn't necessarily the quiet corner, but it is a quieter corner of Connecticut, I guess, than you'd say like the New Haven, Hartford, you know, areas. So usually they're doing, I mean, they've done, a Tribus in Milford. I don't know if you checked that out, but they did the Slam series and they literally put a ring in the middle of the brewery. And so like, that's where I first saw, interaction. I saw Danhausen, a bunch of Shane Douglas showed up. Lex Luger showed up. It was just wild, you know? And so they do a lot of really cool events. And so this is kind of a big deal because they're just dipping their toe in the water here in New London and in Southeastern Connecticut. So if this goes well, I think, you know, maybe they'll end up doing a few other events. They can start pitching bigger events. So, and you know, they've worked with Nash, they work with Bischoff, they work with Sam Roberts has done a bunch of trivia. MJF's ex-girlfriend Alicia Tout. And so she's hosted a bunch of their trivia nights, but on the other side of the state. So we're trying to like make it happen in Southeast Connecticut. So we'll see how that goes.
And what better place than New London at the social? I mean, you own the social, you own the Oasis, which I've heard described as a Mark Bar. So what better place?
Let me correct you. I technically manage both, but I do run the Oasis on my own. I do manage the social, but yes, the Oasis is absolutely a Mark Bar. I love that you
said
that. It's
just great to see you be able to hold down wrestling like this and be able to feature something like this. So please, anybody that's watching, go out and support this because this is something we got to make huge. let Best Trivia Ever know that New London is the place to bring wrestlers.
Nice.
And this is going to be great. If I wasn't working on May 2nd, I would be there. But talking, that's next week. Talking about this week, we got the WWE draft. And before we talk about the WWE draft, I feel like we got to talk about the NFL draft a little bit, because did you guys see Tony Khan last night? And what is going on?
I mean, Tony Khan reminded me of, I remember watching, there was like a WCW event a long time ago, and Hawk, Road Warrior Hawk was supposed to, had like an arm injury. Yes. And he was facing Haku. I just remember this for some reason. I think maybe it came up on OSW and it was amazing. he was supposed to have this crazy arm injury, and he was supposed to sell it. And the entire match, he was just using his arm. He's just like, yeah, clothesline with the injured arm, and like not selling it. And, you know, and he was facing like, oh, I guess Mang. Yeah. Tony Khan with the neck brace on, just here's a full range of motion. Here is my neck just going everywhere. And I was like, what? Like, you know, I mean, I love that he's trying to keep kayfabe alive, but like,
yeah,
this man was pictured just going like this.
Yeah, it's like you got to wear the neck brace to sell it, but you got to know how to sell it as well, too.
Yes, yes. Yeah,
I like that somebody mentioned his father kind of looked like a 70s heel almost.
And just behind it with the biggest smile, like he was behind it.
I don't know if you guys, because this is obviously we're doing some deep cuts, and I like that we're bringing up stuff. I don't know if you guys remember a Bully Busick, but somebody had put.
Oh yes. My gosh, Bully Busick.
His body and said he's looking.
Oh no, I never even thought of that.
I'm like, I can see that.
Oh,
how
my
great
gosh.
Would it be if Tony Khan's dad was the one funding the Elite on TV and like Tony Khan's dad comes out as like the leader of all these guys?
Oh,
and just,
my gosh,
I would almost enjoy it more because then it hits that stratosphere of ridiculous. Yeah. Past kind of like what the fuck's going on, because Sean, we got to ask you, what was your opinion of them showing the footage a couple weeks ago? Really put me off.
It put me off too, because it was reactionary to something WWE does that happened in the WWE stratosphere, you know, like, and not even necessarily, but like CM Punk getting interviewed, getting asked about it and then answering it. CM Punk doesn't strike me as someone that's going to go, no comment. You know, like he's gonna be just like I know a lot of dudes like that. He comes from like a punk rock background,
right.
And those dudes are not like oh no comment guys. They're like, no, I'll be straight up and I'll tell you exactly what I think and what the truth is to me, you know. And so their reaction to that mostly disappointed me, because I think that AEW is better when they concentrate on their stratosphere, you know, like I think their wrestling, their product is incredible. I think they need to like stretch out their stories a little more. I think that's one of the things. They do tell stories, but they're very quick, and then you're like on to the next one, you know. But they showed that footage, and I thought it would make some more sense if they just moved that footage. They like had Jungle Boy's, well, Jack Perry, I guess, as a complete surprise showing up, and they didn't like sort of like tease it, you know. Just showed up. They ripped his mask off. I thought it was really cool how they revealed him. Security coming in, pulled the mask off. And then Jack Perry starts giving out, you know, skip that week and go, I'm going to show the footage and I'm going to tell you why I didn't deserve this, you know? And then there's like a good reason to show the footage storyline wise. Not like, we're grasping at straws. Oh, we were distracted and FTR and we were distracted. So you beat us and we don't want to shake your hand. You know, like I think if Jack Perry had a storyline, he showed up, complete surprise, big pop for it. And then they could work off that the week after that dynamite, this dynamite from yesterday, they'd go, hey, I'm going to show the footage. I'm sick of this. I'm sick of everyone talking about this. I'm going to show the footage. I didn't do a thing. I was right all along. And now all of a sudden the context is better walking into that. And then a week later, they can, you know, beat up Tony Khan or whatever they need to do.
100%.
Yeah.
It's almost like what you proposed, almost like a Drew McIntyre type heel where I'm telling you the truth. This
right.
is what
right. You can right. kind of, and he's doing the best work of his career.
Right. Yeah. And also the timing of that footage also kind of made Adam Copeland look bad, who had just responded with this, we're anti-tribalism. It's like, why did you make poor Adam Copeland?
I saw you guys, I saw the video how Tony Khan let us down, and I went, okay, I think I know exactly what point this is. Adam Copeland literally came out there, rah-rah speech and everything, and everyone's like, yep, it's Edge, it's Adam, it's Cope. You got to respect his. And then they just undid it a week later. It was right. Crazy. Yeah.
I will say one thing, and I know this wasn't what they're going for, but when somebody sells a punch to the stomach with a flat back bump, I will laugh at that every day.
I know we were talking about that last night because I asked somebody at work. I'm like, you don't think like he took a bump like he didn't know how? And somebody's like, well, that's kind of the point. And I'm like, yeah, but they had all day to practice it. Like, right. It was just the funniest, like, toppling over.
You punch my 7-year-old kid in the stomach, he's going to grab his gun.
And it was wild because I thought Tony Khan said he was never going to become an on-air character. And then like, we're already going down this slippery slope. And, Sean, back to what you said about the footage. If you had done it that way, it would have been less like proving CM Punk's point. It could have made Jack Perry look delusional, saying, you know, I didn't do anything. I didn't provoke him. Like, look at how he went at me. And then with no sound, I like that booking a lot more. If only that's been the problem with AEW is just not, I don't know, I guess not putting that extra layer of thought into it or giving it some nuance.
Well, I think they're also like, looking at the ratings, and Tony wants to, no matter what anyone says, he wants to pop that rating. You know, that's how that works for him. And I mean, they're, you know, they got a lot of headlines the week after WrestleMania, which is like, okay, I get it, you know. But I think a lot of times I see stories that are just really, really quick. Jericho and Hook, for instance, that was like 3 weeks. I don't really want to see Jericho that much anymore, to be honest. But like, you know, like he's done his time. But like, I like where they're going with it. I just think they could have stretched out because it was like Hook and Jericho team 1 week, team the second week. Oh, betrayal third week. We have a match in Dynasty. It's like, what? Okay, that's just too quick. I like my head spins a lot at the storylines. But I think I think if they just like stretch it out and like really think and put that extra layer of thought into it, I agree. I think that product would be so incredible. And now they have so many talents. Right. They've always had a lot of talent. And now they have Ospreay, Okada. It's like, I would even say Monet, but like incredible talent, you know, as long as Monet stays healthy, like this, I mean, this roster is crazy, you know?
Yeah, it's nice to have this company out there with all this other wrestling, these great stars. And I think it's just, some of the stuff they're doing, it's unfortunate because we want to see them do well. Like, I want to be back when I was a kid where we had a healthy WWE/WCW, right, where we had these promotions. And when they do things like that, I'm a hardcore fan. I'm still going to watch you, but it concerns me overall. Like, I'm like, oh, that's not – where I'd like to see that go.
Yeah. And it makes like, you know, Rampage and Collision, you know, are things that I found myself watching them less over the last few months. But I watch Dynamite every week, you know, but I think I'm going to just watch Dynamite. That's my Wednesday routine, you know, like, which is fine. But if you're giving me a compelling television, I'm going to go, I got to watch. I might even have to watch Rampage, you know, like, but I'll definitely watch Collision, you know, like, and so I think that's where they need to get, you know, real people back in. It's like, no, watch all the product. And, you know, it'll be compelling across all three shows.
I think there's a thing too, and I think I've talked about a little bit with Joe before, but initially being the new kid on the block, they had this real passionate fan base they would travel everywhere, sell arenas everywhere. And I think that was in part because of what WWE was doing was not resonating with anybody at that time, with Vince. And so we had this really hardcore fan that would do it. I think after a while, you've kind of burnt out that fan base a little bit just because how much money can you keep spending all the time? You see, though, the big events with Sting and some of these other still do pretty well if they have a reason. Wembley obviously would do very well. Different market, of course. But and I think now it's the question of like what WWE's done, why they've got hot, is because with the new creative direction, they're bringing in new fans. You got Rock in there and they brought new fans and they got and that's kind of what they have to find a way to do. We got Okada, we got this. Let's try to find to bring in some different fans that are going to be just as passionate, and hopefully with good booking, we can get the ratings to see them steadily come up, a great TV deal in the next year. But yeah, I mean, right now, I still wish them, I love it, but I mean, like I said, it probably wasn't the reaction they wanted. We're laughing at it. We're talking about, you know, like, I'm sure that's not what they wanted, right?
But I mean, the sell was amazing. The cell was amazing. It was incredible. Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. All those points are really good.
I feel like that's forever going to be a gift.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that. I mean, I, Dave, I completely agree with you. I think
now moving.
Sorry. Go ahead.
I think Joe's
got. Oh no! Finish your thought.
All right. Well, Dave, I was just going to say, I completely agree with you. And I think the challenge here is, I think the challenge is just don't pretend that WWE doesn't exist.
Sure.
Like, give it a year or two. Just pretend they don't exist. Stop reacting to everything. Triple H says something. Will Ospreay's got to say something. It's like, you are the baby face of this company, and you're going to, and WWE is going to want you even more in 4 years. Holy crap. You know, like, they're going to be like, we need this guy because he's going to be the Cody of their, you know, federation soon. So, I mean, you know, they just leave them out of it and move on, you know, and do your thing and just make good stories and make compelling television and make it work. And then I think AEW is going to find that base, start coming back. And it won't be as, like, divisive, you know?
I agree. And one more thing, Joe, before we move on, I just want to say this, too. Just two things. One, if you notice what WWE does to it, the contract, they're responding in interviews to questions, and they'll make this comment. And they're not actually adding anything on their TV about AEW. That really doesn't happen.
Right.
Hell, they even congratulated Sting on a retirement afterward, which was very rare. Although when Pat McAfee did say it was a hell of a match, Michael Cole segued faster.
He's like, okay, move on.
Like, yeah, we don't go that far.
Yeah.
But I would say, you know, as somebody who runs a business too, and, you know, I have a bread route and stuff, and just talk about it from a business standpoint too, I think what we're talking about is pretty basic business. We try to concentrate on what we're doing. We're not worried about what the next guy's doing. We may pay attention, but you're trying to go, okay, what can I do to be better? And, you know, I think that's pretty basic. It should be.
Yep.
100%. And moving from the NFL draft to tonight, the WWE draft kicks off. There's a lot of talk about this. Rules were released this week.
Yeah.
It makes it kind of hard to expect. I've been getting a lot. Who do you think is going to be the first pick? Who's going where? Sean, let's start with you. What do you think about the WWE draft? What are you expecting?
So I've got to admit, I haven't read the rules yet. I all I saw was that Cody's not allowed to be drafted, I guess. Right,
champions.
The champions, all the champions.
Except for, I think, women's tag, Joe?
Oh, okay.
All right, let me check. I've got the draft rules right here. On SmackDown, there will be 4 rounds, 16 total picks. On Raw, there will be 6 rounds, 24 total picks. Champions on each brand are protected. Women's tag team champions are eligible. SmackDown will pick first on Friday. Raw will pick first on Monday. Rosters lock May 6th. And I heard that NXT is also getting a draft on Tuesday as well.
Okay. Oh. Interesting.
Wow. Okay. That's
so
wild.
Let's start with the big question. Who's going from Raw or SmackDown down to NXT? Because that'll probably be the most dramatic move.
Oof. Man.
I mean, it's easy because you got a feeling. I mean, Braun Breaker's already on the main roster. Right. Ilya Dragunov's got to go to the main roster.
Right.
Maybe a Josh Briggs. There's got to be one or two other surprises. But if people can go one way, there's got to be movement the other way. Who'd be eligible to move?
Even though she holds the title, I wonder about Roxanne Perez going up to the main roster, possibly.
I think Fallon Henley would do really well on them. I think there would be I feel like she's one of those people that doesn't translate super well in NXT, but like I think her just general demeanor, like she's like got, you know, like that Mickie James country, like baby face kind of thing going for her. And I think that would actually, and she's super good looking, you know, I think she would translate well on the main roster, actually. One of those rare cases where like, you know, somebody in NXT doesn't translate as well on the main roster, like a Cameron Grimes, which we saw this week he got released. Like,
yeah.
So, I mean, that's, yeah, like that would be, you know, I could see Fallon Henley coming up and that would be probably a good decision. As for bringing him down, I don't know. That's tough. Like bringing someone down is always a tough thing to do, but Baron Corbin, it did wonders for him, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've got it with what Ivar this week has come down. Yeah. The Final Testament has come down. It's nice when they make appearances, but I feel like rehoming them on that brand would just it would give fans a different feel. It's almost like taking somebody out of the majors and saying they're not doing it here, but we want to feature them here.
Right.
But NXT has been on such a run. Like you mentioned Fallon Henley. How good is that women's division in NXT right now? And nobody is talking about it.
I just want to say, too, one other thing, too, we have to think about. Again, I guess going back to, like, business and stuff like that, NXT is about to be on the CW network in a coming, you know, this coming year. So they're going to be on network TV. They might be trying to build that roster up a little more from a business. You want that roster just to be have maybe a few names on it that are a little more engaging that people are going to know and see. So we might see some things we don't expect. I have to say, this is one of the drafts that we've seen in a while. I don't really know what to expect because if you have the champions locked, the one thing I keep wondering is like, well, then is somebody coming back that we don't know? I'm not saying necessarily a Brock Lesnar, but is there somebody like that out there that we don't know about? Like, okay, this guy's coming back right now. I feel like Punk is a good guy you could bounce around.
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, who's going to, you know, like, I guess – I'm trying to think like long term, like when we get to, you know, when we get to SummerSlam, Survivor Series, all that. You'd think, I mean, I don't know. I think one of the things I thought was keep all the women's tag teams on one brand. Like just, as much as it's, you know, it sort of seems like obvious, but at least have some kind of intrigue in that division, you know? I feel bad for all these guys. I mean, you know, they have a women's tag team title and Isla Dawn and what's her name there haven't done a thing yet. They've barely been showcased and they're a cool team. I mean, that's a great team. They actually have women's tag teams. They just need to actually like, you know, have them
value
feud.
Them.
Yeah. They need to like have them feud and go back and forth, you know,
and putting them on a, one brand might be the trick. And again, I wasn't really thinking about this, but maybe, even though some people might consider it a downgrade, with the NXT going to CW, that could be a direction you go to. You could put an emphasis on that brand and maybe have that's where women's tag team wrestling is kind of home right now.
Right.
I don't know if that is. I mean, you know, again, we're going to be making big moves in the next year. Netflix is going to be a year away too. So
that's going to be wild. What do you think? What do you think is going to happen with Netflix? You think they're going to go like, I think they're going to still be, you know, PG-ish, PG, you know, area, but
I'm curious about, too, are we going to be, I'm assuming it's going to be non-commercials, and, like, how long does Raw run? Is it going to be a 2-3 hour show, some weeks a 2 hour show? You really can, you're open to kind of do what you want at this point now.
Yeah.
I love that you both brought that up because I'm like halfway between what you both said. Sean, I agree with you. I think the rating is going to increase. We're going to see them do a little more. Bring it back to almost an older school wrestling. You can't go back to the Attitude Era, but we're going to get the new school version of that. And Dave, I'm right there with you. I think it's going to be 2 hours. I think they're going to make their own commercial break because it's inherent still going to be a TV product, sure. but they're going to be able to pick and choose who they want in there. We might get some Dude Wipes commercials. We might get some Wingstop commercials. We might get the Aqua Fresca commercials.
I see pictures of them.
Yeah. And it's hard to tell what's coming up with the draft, but what it is easy to tell is Dark Side of the Ring, and we're talking the Sherry Martel episode, but when you say Dark Side of the Ring, you can't help but think of Thursday, May 2nd, 208 Bank Street, star of Dark Side of the Ring, Buff Bagwell, making his appearance at the Social Bar and Kitchen. Get there early, 5 to 7 meet and greet time, 7:30 trivia starts. But what starts right now is our discussion of the Sherry Martel Dark Side of the Ring. And this is where the good feelings about this show stop, right? It was an excellent, it was an excellent episode, but it's not too often you hear about mothers walking away from their children. Yeah. And even though she was still involved in his life, that was like the centerpiece of this episode, right?
Oh, wow. Yes.
One of the centerpieces.
I didn't watch it yet. I gotta watch that. That's no.
Spoiler alert.
No. It's okay. It's all right. I knew like light. You know, I knew a lot of light things about Sherry Martel. So, yeah, that's.
So, when Joe was talking about too, just to comment on that, I watched the episode, and a lot of people love Sherry, which I'd always heard, and she's really an engaging character. But one of the things that I could not connect with, and Joe knows this, like I have 5 stepkids that have really entered my life and I take care of them. And the last few years,
Dave couldn't walk away from them even if he wanted to.
Right. You know, you built this relationship.
He hasn't tried. I'm 100% kidding.
I have not tried. I've definitely, there's one kid, I won't say his name because he's going to maybe see me someday, but he definitely made me think a couple times. I'm like, oh.
He knows who he is.
Yeah. Yeah. Dave, did you inherit an entire Brady Bunch?
Like, yeah, for
you
sure.
You inherited a Brady Bunch.
Yeah, so that to
Dave, tell him the story about True Love, because I talk about Dave's story all the time. This is how much of a stand-up guy Dave is, and I just want to feature it for a second.
All right. I'll tell the story real quick, because we are a wrestler. But so this was a girl I knew. I'm 7 years older. So I was like 26. She was like 19. We worked in a store together. Sweetheart of a girl. I was awkward at that time. You know, didn't really know like how to really talk to women. You know, I was really good with friends. Started to develop that. Anyway, making it quicker. So hit it off with her. Nice girl. We connected. But she was always dating somebody. And then, listen to this. See,
that I tell the story all the time. I got to put Dave over it.
So. Anyway, we ended up, to make it quicker, we basically, there was a point where she got married, and I was totally head over heels for her, and I never told her, and I was about to, and then I found out she was engaged. Real true story. I found out, and I was like, ooh, and I just kind of stepped away. She never understood why, and I knew that, like, if there was a problem, because I didn't know why. I found out years later she would date guys that were kind of problematic. You know, usually comes from family back. Right. We all know. Yeah, I grew up, and but at the time, I didn't know, and I just knew. I was like, this probably isn't going to work out, and I don't want to be the guy to give her bad advice because, you know, I don't know if it's coming from a place of this is bad or it's just me being like, I want you to be with me. So I just, I stayed away. We had run into each other every now and then, and she, poor girl, she never knew why. We found out later, like, why this guy's disappear? And then as I was getting married, I was engaged. I ran into her as she was getting divorced, and she told me everything was bad, everything she was going through. I get married. That goes for about 3 years. Didn't really work out. Nice girl, younger, couldn't have kid, long story, but we went our separate ways amicably. I was single for a while. Was not probably anything I would brag about now, but I learned a lot, and I learned I didn't want to be single anymore because all that stuff when you're younger and you don't know how to talk to women, I was able to do now, but also was not in the most healthy outlet. But, you know, once you, you know, sow them oats afterwards, you're like, this is kind of lonely, too. This gets old fast. Yeah. So,
but basically ends up getting together with her when she has 5 kids, and now he is the Mike Brady of this household. But the wrestling Mike Brady.
Yeah, so wow. We ended up getting together. We talked, and she was in one other abusive relationship. She was getting out, ready to start the world on her own, and had sworn off because she had these five kids. And she said, I'm not going to find someone who probably wants to I'm sure she was thinking that. But I was just so, you know, crazy about this girl. And we disconnected. She had never changed. She was solid. And at the end of the day, you know, I'm very happy. I'm so happy that I'm back with this girl. But I also did learn a lesson. When people tell you, oh, five kids is a lot of work, you hear that. But until you have kids, oh, yeah, it's a lot of effing work. And as we told as early as like yesterday, she's like, I know you love me because you would probably walk away. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you are a taxi driver. You are an ATM machine. You are a bouncer. You are a scientist.
I'm imagining the
Andy's a podcast co-host.
I'm imagining the Married with Children intro, but with five different kids showing up. And you're like, okay.
We got them all. Like,
dude, but yeah, amazing. Getting back to Dark Side of the Ring, it was great to hear from her ex-husband. It was great to hear from her son, no matter how heartbreaking it is. And I think it really highlighted, and I was talking with Jess in the TikTok about this, that women in the wrestling business had to give up so much more to even be moderate. So if you think about what Sherry had to do to be one of the top ones, you see it during the episode, you become a shell of your former self because you have to give up so much of your life to become that top star. And that's one of the great things that Dark Side of the Ring has done. We see it with Sherry Martel. We saw it with people like Junkyard Dog as well. You know, people that had to do extra in the business, even just to be kind of like mid-level, and what it takes to be that next level legend. So if you haven't seen it yet, I think you're very much going to enjoy this episode. Dave, what were your thoughts on Dark Side of the Ring?
So what I think is also crazy was how cool her son and his dad and her ex-husband, they really were about the situation. Like, they were upset, but they... Like he said, she's still a legend. I love her. She's my mom. And his stepmom became his mom. But the stepmom even had a good relationship. Like, they all love Sherry. Like, Sherry would keep the kid, you know, she would, you know, keep in touch, even though she'd only see him, you know, like they said, they'd send him out, like, with him to be, like, for a week. And it'd only be, like, 2 days, you know, stuff would happen. So you could just see somewhere in there, they saw this big heart of this woman, and but also a troubled soul. And they all loved her and were okay with this. I think that says volumes about Sherry, but also these people around her. Because, I mean, man, oh, man, you know, walking away, and that's not the easiest thing to just accept and be cool with. You know, you can be angry for the rest of your life for that. And so even though, like, I gotta say personally, I can't understand. Like, I know that's not right. I can always understand why you can do something, but... I don't know how you end up making, like, I feel like you should just pull back in, but I can't. So I guess I can't personally agree with it, but at the end of the day, I think it's really great that the rest of this family was so cool and they still had some kind of closeness there. Big ups to them. Glad they could do that.
Yeah. Wow. I got to watch that.
Yeah. 100%.
That's good.
100%.
Yeah.
And something I was happy about this week, Sean, I hope you still have time to join us because we had a big title win on Monday night, Becky Lynch winning that WWE Women's Championship. What did you think about this? Was this the pick you had in the Battle Royal?
I did not. First off, I was like, oh, Becky's going to be away for some time to just chill with her kid, whatever, whatever. And then she shows up and I see her walking in. I went, uh-oh, Becky's winning this belt, isn't she? I think it was, you know, at first I was like, okay, this is the panic button they're hitting because they lost their biggest women's star that's on the roster currently. So they're like, all right, let's put the next biggest star right now. Like, let's bring her back in. And then I sort of got a little time to think about it, and I've heard a lot of opinions, and this is actually like, if they are working towards this, then I heard a concept where Liv and you could kind of see it, like, Liv had that stare off with Dominic, And I was like, wait, is Liv going to end up infiltrating the Judgment Day?
Right.
And that's her actual revenge. And then Rhea shows up, massive baby face, eventually. That would be, I mean, that would be a really cool way of doing it. So,
wow. You know what's great about this current version of WWE is such long-term storytelling.
Yeah.
Because as you're telling that, I could see that. I could see Ripley getting her big moment. But then I wonder, man, if it's built right, they can do Jade over on the other brand, and they can get Jade over, and she could have her big moment at WrestleMania. Like, we could be building to two WrestleManias from now, like one of the biggest ones.
It's like crazy. Yeah.
There's a lot of exciting scenarios, and I don't think anyone's thought this possible, but when you look at how the Roman Cody angle played out of years of telling that story, it's like, oh man, these guys are invested in doing stuff like this.
Right. Yeah. It's awesome.
And before we move on to AEW, Sean, what else in WWE has you excited now? We're in that post-Mania time where everything, we had all these speculations, stories are starting to roll out. We're getting like this new season of WWE. What has you excited about WWE outside of everything? Because they are really knocking it out of the park, I think.
Right. I'm very excited for heel Gable. I think that he's been, I want to say grossly underutilized, but like, I mean, his gimmick has been like, you know, it's been like, okay, he's been a face and that's fine. But I think that he's actually a G, and not Shorty G, by the way.
Thank God he got past that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That man has gone through a lot. So I think he's just going to crush it as a heel. And if they get, you know, him just shaming Otis and Akira was excellent. Like, he is just, I think he's going to crush it. He's going to, and everyone keeps saying Perk Gable, which I'm very excited about. I love it. Perk Gable.
It's tremendous.
I know.
He could be that heel.
He's really hitting that time.
Yeah.
He could be that Kurt Angle heel. He shows he could be that Kurt Angle comedian if he wants to, too.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's hard not to draw the comparison when they're former Olympians. They're great. And yeah, to see him finally get, I believe, was going to be his shine too. I'm with you 100%. Like, you could do the Intercontinental Championship off the bat at some point. But I was telling somebody, like, if they make it where they turn Otis, and Otis is totally like gotten 100% brainwashed, like, these could be like old school badass heels, like you would see about in Japan days with like Gordy and William. Yeah. They'll just beat the crap out of people. Cause, you know, like, look at Otis and then Chad, like, there's no way. So it's like, you could go a number of ways with this, and it's really hard to lose.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely. And going from one championship win to another, last Sunday, Swerve Strickland finally won the AEW heavyweight championship. What did you think about this, Sean? Did you think this was the time? Did they wait too long?
I think that they pulled the trigger too quickly, actually. That sounds wild. Yeah, I know that sounds wild, but I like him and Hangman was such a momentous thing that put Swerve on the map doing that. Yeah, they ended up, I mean, I just feel like Hangman should have intervened in this match and gotten all that heat back on it. And Swerve was like, I'm going to just end this. And at the same time, get the title. They already did the triple threat, so it was a little tough.
Right.
But
yeah.
I just felt like they could have one more chapter leading up to it. But the timing obviously was fine. You know, the timing was fine. I was happy for him. So, yeah, it was great.
I almost saw it at, like, a double or nothing. Like, maybe do it at one of your big shows to give it that big feel. But, I mean, Dynasty was a good enough time. They needed to make this pay-per-view pop off because of the damage they had done, like, 2 weeks before with the footage.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think,
sure. And
from a fan standpoint, I think they were ready. But I was with Sean 100%. I can't believe that someone else actually thought this, but I was thinking the same thing. Like, initially, I thought we were leading into a bigger show down the road because of the way the story was being told. And then at some point, I think they're like, okay, the momentum is now. And for whatever reason, maybe things out of even Swerve's control, they were like, we better put the championship on him now. And hey, I can't complain. Glad it worked out.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. All right, boys, I got to take off. I could sit here all day. This is terrible.
Excellent. All right. Well, before Sean gets out of here, Thursday, May 2nd, Social Bar and Kitchen, 208 Bank Street, 5 to 7 p.m., Buff Bagwell meet and greet, 7:30 p.m., trivia starts. Sean, I will clip this video and send it to you later.
Thank you so much.
Taking the time out to join us. We'll have to have you on again in the future.
Oh, anytime.
Awesome. Have a good one, Sean.
All right.
Now it's me, the man called Dave. Dave, we have taken a journey today. We went far longer than we usually do. It was great to have Sean on.
Yes, it was.
Let's get to one of the biggest things that Dave features on here, the videos that piss everybody off, making people choose between two legends. This week, bigger legend, Macho Man or The Undertaker? You let us know. Dave, who's your pick?
Oh, for me, it's Taker. Savage was a more marquee star at one point. He was a bigger icon in the 80s, there's no doubt. And you can argue that, I like this. Jess says the Macho Man. And it's a toss-up. But for me, I just think the longevity of Undertaker wins me over when we have this competition, you know, because how long he still just became a big star and is still recognizable. But I will say this. I will play devil's advocate against my own pick. We still got LA Knight and everybody coming out to Slim Jim stuffs, paying homage to the Macho Man. So,
what's wild about him is they spent most of their years as a character, Macho Man predominantly. Undertaker, you know, he's morphed into a little more of himself. They both had title reigns. They both are like in that WWE pantheon of wrestlers when you think WWE. I think that's what makes it so tough. Your classic big man versus just your out of control 80s wrestler.
You tell me who's better. I go Savage all day.
Yeah. I would say probably my favorite wrestler, even though I really like that Undertaker entrance and the mystique, it's Macho Man. Just his ability to talk, his ability in the ring, just his overall aura. I was all about it. So, gun to my head, I'm picking Macho Man.
Okay. I like it. All right. Well, I don't think there's anything else we can do.
If I'm at that cooler door and I'm like, what am I picking to drink tonight? I see, we got Bud Light. We got Coors Light. Hold on. Let me move the Sam Adams six pack. What is right behind it?
If you haven't tried Game Up, then you are missing out. Imagine your favorite seltzer and your favorite sports drink had a baby, but it's way better than that. Each can is 110 calories, low carb, 4.9 ABV. It's a nice light drink that is not light on flavor. Game Up comes in fruit punch, orange, lemon, lime, and grape. Pick it up at drinkgameup.com or at your nearest liquor store.
And you know, if you polish off an 8-pack of Game Up and you're like, what book can I read today? There's only one natural choice.
Hey, all you good Gump Wrestling fans out there, listen, old Black Bart has got a book. It's called Wrestle. It's got some dead Gump good stories in there about some dead Gump good wrestlers.
Read stories of Dusty Rhodes, the Von Erichs, Scott Casey, Sergeant Slaughter, Roddy Piper, Mr. Fuji, Ron Bass, Bruiser Brody, Mike Davis, The Grappler, and many others.
And I guarantee you one thing, that it'll be the best dadgum read you've had in a long, long time.
Get your book today at WrestleVille.com or on Amazon. WrestleVille, it's where wrestling lives.
Yeah. Read about the Northern Wrestling Federation in the book presented by Russellville.com, The Pro Wrestling Vault, Volume 2. Hear the story of Roger Ruffin, the man who trained Carl Anderson, the Monster Abyss, Jordan Clearwater, Chris Harrison, Jillian Hall.
Plus 45 other short stories including Jazz, Bobby Eaton, Kamala, Thunder Rosa, Mario Mancini, Scott Casey, PJ Black, Kerry Morton, Sal Renaro, Jeremiah Plunkett, Colby Carino, Bam Bam Malone, and many others.
Get your book today at Russellville.com. Russellville, it's where wrestling lives.